one game. An NBA Finals seventh game. One game, the difference between basketball immortality and crushing disappointment. One game, a chance to become a legend, a hero, a champion.
What motivates me now more than ever is winning another championship.
It's going to take heart. It's going to take an uncanny amount of energy and strength.
To win a championship, it was one of the most emotional times of my life because that's what I play for.
One game, a chance for a legacy to grow. One final game. A season-long journey draws to a close.
Top of the world! Top of the world!
All right, and we are back with our final two games in our long series on Game 7s of the NBA Finals, finishing an even longer series on Game 7s throughout the playoffs. Rich, it's been fun doing this. It's been a journey. Yeah, it's been a little bit of a journey. It's been a little exhausting, but it has definitely been fun. I've seen some footage I've never seen before. I've learned about players and teams that I didn't really know much about. So, fun times.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's good. I feel very. I feel like we succeeded. We completed something, of doing this whole series and doing, all through the playoffs and all, the conference finals, the semis, all that sort of stuff. It's really fun. And I feel very accomplished by it. And I think we did a really good job with it. And I hope people, if you didn't get a chance during the NBA finals to listen to it because you were so, busy listening to, every other podcast in the world, covering the games or you were just watching the games or doing that stuff. I really would appreciate if you could go back and kind of listen and give us some feedback and let us know what you thought, because I really enjoyed it. I think we did a really good job of breaking these down and really going in depth and going into detail. And like you said, it's just been fun to kind of go back and watch and appreciate the history of the NBA Finals, appreciate the history of Game 7s, appreciate all that sort of stuff, because it's been quite the ride. And I feel very accomplished and very happy, what we did. So,
yeah, I'm proud of it, too. And I hope people are willing to I think the off season will be a nice time for people to kind of go back and check out some of our shows, whether it's the Game 7s or other stuff that we've been up to over the season, because obviously there's going to be free agency takes the people's time. There aren't games to watch. There's definitely, opportunities for other people will check us out. So but we should finish this up first.
We should. And before we pat ourselves on the back, we gotta finish strong. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Our number two choice is the Boston Celtics taking on the St. Louis Hawks in 1957. The Celtics winning 125-123 in double overtime. The only only Game 7 double overtime in history. And this is, of course, the beginning of the Celtics dynasty. This is Bill Russell's rookie year. Although, actually, Tom Heinsohn also was a rookie, and he was actually the rookie of the year. He was kind of initially, before kind of people appreciated Russell's talents, Heinsohn was kind of the, a little bit of the star of a little bit overshadowed Russell, although that obviously that would change quickly. Not that, I mean, Heinsohn's a Hall of Famer, obviously he was very good too, but Russell obviously being the the engine behind that Celtics dynasty. They still have – the Celtics have, Bob Cousy and Bill Sharman. Cousy, in fact, was the MVP this year. They also have Frank Ramsey and Jim Lostikoff, who were, both players who won I believe each of them won 8 rings for the Celtics. Both of them are young players on this team. Meanwhile, the Hawks were – they were only 34-38 through the season, but they buzzed through the playoffs. They swept the Lakers, and they were led by a young Bob Pettit, who was in his third season. They had Ed McCauley, who they had received, who was a Celtic star who had been part of the trade for Bill Russell, who was drafted by the Hawks. Also, young Cliff Hagan was part of that trade, both future Hall of Famers. The other guy, another future Hall of Famer, is former Lakers point guard Slater Martin, who moved over to the Hawks and helped fuel their success. They went to they went to four finals in five seasons and won a championship in 58. So they were a very good team as well in St. Louis. And then their player coach was Alex Hannum, who was the only coach other than Red Auerbach and Bill Russell to win an NBA title between 57 and 59. He led the Hawks to one in 58 and led the Sixers to one in 67. So.
Yeah, it's a nice little interesting tidbit there. Other names you mentioned for the Celtics, I mentioned the star-studded, you know, cast of guys. You have veterans Andy Phillip and Arne Rizin, a guy we talked about earlier. Rochester Royal, great, also a Hall of Famer, you know, who was also on the Celtics. Tail end of his career, he's kind of winding down here, but still, you know, another Hall of Famer to add to this list of just this tremendous, tremendous Boston Celtics team. I mean, just such a deep, deep team. And it reflects that in the game as well. You look at the box score, you look at, you know, throughout the series and the stats as well. I mean, it reflected that this team was just so, so talented. And that's not taking anything away from the Hawks, who, you know, within 2 points of toppling them, which is an incredible feat on its own.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Red Auerbach actually been the Hawks coach for one season when they were the Tri-Cities Blackhawks, I think in 1950. So yeah, both of these teams had interesting ties with each other. I think we talked about that in maybe in an earlier Hawks Celtics game series that went to a game seven as well. And Russell in this game has 19 points and 32 rebounds. You know, ho-hum, Bill Russell.
Good day, awesome, yeah, good day at the office.
Finals game. Usual, yeah. Although, and Tom Heinsohn, 37 points and 23 rebounds. Pretty awesome for him, too. And they made up for the backcourt of the Celtics, Cousy and Sharman. Cousy was 2 for 20, and Sharman was 3 for 20 shooting. But you know, they were able to make
a Starksian, four. Starksian right there.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just lucky they got bailed out, or else we'd be talking about Cousy as a choker right now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, other than the seven or, you know, a few more.
Yeah, the other, like, five titles. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever.
Whatever. Pettit had 39 and 19. Cliff Hagan with 24 and 16. And then Slater Martin had 23, 8, and 7. So, you know, standout game for their stars as well. And, you know, yeah, they came awfully close to toppling the Celtics. Unfortunately, we don't really have footage for this game hardly at all. There's like one clip of Russell running the floor and finishing a give and go. And then there's a clip of the Hawks, you know, missing tip in. One of them is by Pettit. I'm not positive who the other player is, but they both, you know,
it's hard to tell. Yeah.
It's like a close shot and then a second tip in at the end. And then we see Russell jumping up and down and fans rushing the court in the middle of the game. So, but you know, what I guess happens is so the Celtics are up. This is still before regulation. They are up 103-101, but then Pettit sinks two clutch free throws in the closing seconds to send the game into overtime. At the end of the first period, first overtime period, Boston's up by two again, and then Jack Coleman, who had won game one for St. Louis, hit a clutch jumper for another overtime. And then with just seconds to go in the second overtime, McCauley had a sixth foul after fouling Lasikadov, and then he hit two free throws for a 125-123 Boston lead. They only had one chance to tie at this point. The Hawks had to take the ball inbounds with a full court pass. And Hannum, he was the player coach. He was the last eligible player on the Hawks bench. This was the first time he had been in the game in the series. And then what I guess he did is he was able to throw the pass all the way across the court, bank it off the backboard, and then get it to Pettit. And it's weird because it doesn't, like, it's confusing because from the clip that we see, like, all we see is like basically it coming out of Pettit's hands, the ball missing, and then someone, and I guess it's Pettit who does that, and then somebody else trying to tip it in and missing. We don't see the part where it comes off the backboard, and it's almost like it doesn't look like that's what happened, but this is the end of the game, and this is, you know, apparently what happened. So it's a little confusing.
That's incredible.
To me, but,
I mean, that's like incredible. Yeah, like, think about right. that. Like, think of yeah. Like that's the first. Okay, there's so much there to like unpack. Like, he's a player coach, first off.
Right.
He had yeah. not played the entire series. Right. And then he casually just throws it from one end of the court to the other in hopes that it will bounce to Pettit, which it does. And then Pettit gets it and then misses it. It's like, oh my God. Like, if he makes that and we have like actual footage of it, like, can you imagine that clip? Like,
yeah, that would
it's
be...
just it, that's what's so disappointing is that he didn't make it, because it's like, oh my God, like, how, like, think of, like, that's just unbelievable. Like, I couldn't do that. Like, no, who could do that? Like, who would do right. that ever?
I mean, if
like, for footage... it to work, it worked. Like, what a stupid plan that worked.
Yeah, I mean, if we had footage of this, I think this would probably be the number one game, you know, of all time. I mean,
that... right, like, come I mean, on. Like, that's be... so ridiculous. Like, that's like Greg Popovich being like, all right, shit, well, I'll go in, and like, and then like coming up with this ridiculous plan that has like no chance. Like, what are the chances of that ever working?
Yeah,
that we're gonna bounce it off the backboard and it will just so happen to go to my best player with a point blank chance to win the game. It's just, it's unbelievable. Like, it's just like, what the hell? How does that happen? Like, what? That's, yeah. Oh man,
that's crazy. yeah, I'm exhausted just talking about it.
I know, that's, it's just unbelievable. Just somebody find a clip. Someone's got a handheld somewhere. Hypothetical grandpa that I talked about in last. One of you has a clip. Someone has a video clip. I don't know where. I don't know how, but someone does. So yeah, right. Give it up. All right.
Yeah.
The NBA's got to have something, right? Come on.
I mean, I would imagine that if we'd have seen it by now if they did. But,
do they not know this is a cool play? Like,
I would think someone there would have some sort of
I would hope,
and
yeah.
would realize, but you know, you never know.
I need to see this. Like, I got to, like, it could it just be the thing of legends where it's like maybe not as ridiculous as they said, or.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have a hard time believing that that could be like. Not really.
Who
what
makes
happened.
That up? That yeah, right. Thing. Like, who right. would make that up?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right. I mean, I didn't. I'm getting the description from the summary at NBA.com. They have a history of every finals. Older finals. I forget how far it goes in the future, but I think it goes at least through 94. But anyway, mm-hmm. So it's by their description. But I'm going
to
go ahead and believe them in this case. So.
Well,
I'm sure Curtis Harris would correct us if we were wrong. So
that's true. Well, Curtis, find yeah. out and then give us the video, which yeah. you inevitably have.
I'm sure Curtis reason. Has the video. Yeah, for some reason.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess the Celtics celebrated by shaving Russell's beard in the locker room and then getting beer and then going out to dinner. So
what does a shaved Bill Russell look like? I don't even know if I want to see that.
I don't know. It does. It seems weird. Yeah, I can't imagine. You know, I'm almost afraid to Google unshaved Bill Russell. But
yeah, like, because even today, like, he's still got the big bushy, like, you know, his goatee now or whatever. I mean, I don't want to see that at all. Like, that's just disturbing. I don't even. I'm gonna do it. I'm doing it right now. So here we go. You don't have to do it. I will.
I think it's like Tom Selleck without his mustache almost. You know.
Yeah. Could it like? Yeah. What happens? Let's see.
Yeah. It's probably the only time Tom Selleck and Bill Russell have ever compared to each other. Yes.
There is no, you look at Bill Russell unshaved and the first picture is Bill Russell with a goatee. So that's,
there you go. Yeah.
And believe it or not, guess. Okay. So you mentioned that. What is the oddest thing that happens? The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10th photo is Tom Selleck with a hairy chest and full mustache. So maybe it's a question asking, you know, who would be the weirdest people to see unshaved? And it was Tom Selleck and Bill Russell, but here he is, in full, you know, chest hair and mustache. So do you not. Do not worry. And then, yeah, nothing. No pictures of Bill Russell shaved, so you don't have to worry. You're okay.
Okay. Yeah, I get a very different Google search by from this, but I get some Hugh Jackman. I get, you know, some. I get a dog, some guy and a dog in the first picture. There's some. I get some old timey photos. It's.
Oh yeah, I have that one too. Yeah, what the hell's that old timey one? The Walker family photos.
Yeah. So the number one choice for
what a terrible transition. Gotta figure out another way to transition it. So.
Los Angeles Lakers taking on the Detroit Pistons in 1988. The Lakers beating the Pistons 108-105. But boy, this got close. The Lakers of course had dominated the 80s. They had won titles in 80, 82, 85, and 87, but they were looking for the first back-to-back championships that had occurred in the NBA since 69, which is pretty hard to believe that it took 19 years for there to be another repeat champion. And then we have like a groundswell of them. But it was kind of like there was, I feel like, a lot of talk at the time that like back-to-back was like maybe no longer possible just because of how the league had changed. you know, with so many games
and
deeper playoffs,
100 games a year, and so many minutes or whatever. Yeah, I could absolutely see it. Absolutely, I could see that justification for it.
Yeah, but then
that next year coming back is just like, we're exhausted. Like,
yeah,
because in a lot of other sports, it's we know famously in the NFL, that's near impossible to do, and teams have so much trouble doing it. And baseball as well. It's very rarely do you see that, because usually you get pitchers come back the next year and they're like, I'm exhausted. Like, my arm is still not healed. And we've seen it now a lot in the NBA, but it's no easier. It's much, it's just as difficult. But yeah, it is. I could definitely see that justification. Absolutely. I could see that.
Yeah. The Lakers had actually never won a seventh game in the finals before. And the Pistons had almost made the 87 finals, but fell to the Celtics famously. That was the series we talked about before, where Isaiah Thomas famously throws the ball away and steal by Bird, and so forth. The Lakers are coached by Pat Riley toward the end of his run there. He would last one more season. The Pistons coached by Chuck Daly. So yeah, this is, I guess, the big game, James game. He had his first ever career triple double of 36, 16, and 10, wins the finals MVP. Magic also has a very good game, 19, 5, and 14. Byron Scott, 21 and 3. Kareem only with 4 points and 3 rebounds and 3 turnovers, but he was 40 years old, so we'll cut him a break in this one. Michael Cooper and Michael Thompson with 12 points each off the bench.
And Cooper does a lot in that fourth quarter as well. If you watch the highlights or whatever, and see he's really doing a ton out there and really kind of. Just being all over the court, defensively, getting rebounds, just a ton of stuff there. So he's kind of a standout one that you didn't really expect. But it was James Worthy's game, really, in a lot of ways. Yeah. But it was fun to see Cooper there forcing his hand in there. And
you're
going to get into the Pistons here in a little bit. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say the Lakers basically played seven guys. Kurt Rambis had 7 minutes, but they played seven guys, so they're, in 2015 Cavs-ish level of depth, although they had better players, but they had, obviously similar issues. So interesting thing that I did not I had not seen up until now is that Rick Mahorn only played 3 minutes in this game. I'm not sure if
how many more years then was he
Rick Mahorn?
Yeah, because I'm trying to think. Wasn't there a period where he had some awkwardness or something with the team? That's this year.
No. They won the title the next year, and then he the day that they had the trophy celebration was the day that he was picked by Minnesota.
That's right. Expansion draft. Right. Okay, so, that's what happened. Okay, right.
I'm guessing he was either injured or ineffective in the game, but I can't immediately recall. This, by the way, is the first game, the first NBA game I'm positive that I watched at the time.
A little bit before my time, or I was one, but so I did not sit down and watch. But
I was nine, so. I'm pretty sure I watched some of the Celtics Lakers stuff beforehand, but I don't have like a specific memory of that. But I specifically remember sitting down and watching this game and being very excited about it.
Well, you picked a good one, because I know just going back and rewatching this game and rewatching the fourth quarter. There's a YouTube video of the entire fourth quarter of. I was getting nervous just watching it again, and it's like, I have no need to do that. Like, I don't have a rooting interest. I know who's going to win. Like, it's happened, 25 plus years ago, and still I'm looking at it and watching it and just captivated by the game. I mean, there's just so much, the names that you look at, and just overall just being a great game of the Pistons were dead. They were dead to rights here and came back and made it just an absolute great, all-time great game. And there's a reason it's number one on our list. And I don't know if that many people would argue about that. I really don't think we're going to get too many people that would say, oh, that's terrible. No, it's not, or whatever. You might get some Knicks fans that would say the Willis Reed game or something like that. But I feel like most people that watch basketball and have watched games and follow NBA history would kind of consider this and everything that went into it and the guys who were in there and how this game was. Like, this is your number one. I think a lot of ways. Like, when you – when we came up with this list, this was like the definite, no doubt, or number one on both of our lists, I believe. Like, it was, there wasn't much debate to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's actually a lot of games that would be good choices for that. I mean, I think some of the Celtics Lakers classics, you know, that we talked about. I mean, you know, honestly, any of these the top four or so that we picked all have cases to be made. But I mean, I do think there is such a this really
a lot
is
of people saw this, and I think a lot of people seeing this one makes it a bigger. You know what I mean? Like where most fans that we interact with on a daily basis have either seen clips or seen the full game, or like you were watching it live. So it has a special place in their heart in that respect. Celtics games.
Those are great. Yeah. I mean, you know, but you're right, this is a different era for the game and different, you know, level that it had reached, of course, in national consciousness by this point. I mean, it was definitely like, you know, NBA was full on, like, you know, it had really, you know, broken out during the decade and mm-hmm. was, you know, the third major sport, essentially. It had, you know, it had taken off as that and was legitimately, on the same plane as football and baseball, you know, to a certain extent. The Pistons, not to be denied. I mean, Joe Dumars had 25-5-4. Isaiah Thomas is playing on a sprained ankle. He sprained it in game six, but still went off for like a 25-point quarter in that game and nearly led the Pistons to steal game six, which of course would have meant that game seven would not have happened. But even though that happened, he had 10 points, 7 assists, and 4 steals during the game. Although he didn't really play he played very little in the second half because basically the ankle swelled and he wasn't he wasn't able to do much more after that. He is in the final play of the game, which we'll talk about. Lambeer has 11-9 with 3 steals, played some very good defense on the Lakers bigs, especially Kareem. Although Kareem again was 40, so you know, might have been just Kareem not being old and slow as well. But Sally performed really well, 17-10 off the bench. Rodman was 15-5 and had 2 steals, although he has a couple of shots toward the end, makes a few bad decisions.
not what you want out of your offense is a Dennis Rodman jumper is usually the best way to finish a possession, but that's okay. It's all right. 15, that might be a career high for Rodman.
Yeah, well, he could score a little bit early his career. Yeah, I mean, he was kind of a different player. I mean, he was obviously like energy and defense and stuff, but yeah, I mean, I think he was a little bit like more versatile early in his career, and he just kind of became more, you know, more specialized, mm-hmm. you know, with the Bulls. I mean, obviously he was great, but I mean, he was doing fewer things, I guess, as he got older.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Although, you know, doing them very well. So the Lakers are up by.
John Sally, who the announcers during the game said this is his coming out party. My God, John Sally, and he had a great game here. But they just continue to go on about how the offensive explosion and how this young John Sally is ready to take the league by storm, and oh, he's really figured it out offensively, and I can't wait to see what happens next year. And he was just kind of John Sally forever, but that's all right.
Yeah, I mean, he had a decent, you know, career, but yes, he was. He was never, above league average in PER, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. Most metrics or, you know, he was a role player.
Good player.
He was a good role player.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
He was a role player. Yes, the Lakers are up by 15 with about 7:40 left in the fourth quarter. But quickly, the Pistons make a pretty big run. It's 96-90 with 4:30 left in the game. So about 3 minutes, they cut the lead they cut the lead quite a bit. The Lakers did repeatedly go to Kareem down the stretch, but he, you know, really couldn't deliver against Lambeer. He had some bad turnovers. He couldn't keep up on defense. He did have a good offensive rebound, and he did score a couple of buckets, but for the most part, not a strong performance by him.
Yeah, Skyhook wasn't looking very good either. It was kind of...
No, yeah, you know.
It was grounded. It was very grounded, and yeah. He's 40. Yeah, he's allowed, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, it was not one of the finest Kareem games. It's not one to watch in the highlight reels, but it's okay.
No. With about 3:30 left, Magic got his fifth foul. Kareem had gotten his fifth foul right before then, and the Pistons are down by four. Overall, it was a 17-4 run. But Worthy's able to get a great offensive rebound and put back to at this point it's 196. Vinny Johnson misses a long three, but Laimbeer scrambles to get the loose ball. He had a couple of really good hustle plays here.
And a three down the stretch too. Pretty long like formed three, and Laimbeer could do that from time to time, but you would,
yeah,
you know, in this respect, you didn't expect. I was like, holy crap, like just a really good, like a decent three. So,
yeah,
go Laimbeer,
we talked about it in a little bit in our Mr. Basketball show way back, but yeah, Laimbeer really is, I think, a better player than people remember him being. You know, we even made
People remember him just shoving people and being a grimace, you know, grimacing and shoving people, but he's a really talented player.
Yeah, he was skilled, you know, he was a double-double guy. I mean, he was, you know, and he was a focal point for their team, you know, for quite a while. I mean, we kind of made a case for him, you know, being one of the guys you could kind of consider for Mr. Basketball, even maybe ahead of Isaiah, but. At this point, Dumars makes the jumper to make it 100-98, but then Rodman has a really dumb foul on Magic on the inbound. Magic ends up making a free throw to give them a little bit of breathing room, but then a bit later, Detroit misses. Laimbeer tries to run it down and is almost able to, but then his foot gets on the line to missed opportunity there for them. Worthy then commits a turnover, but Rodman takes an ill-advised jumper on a fast break with 39 seconds left. Daly, they even point out in Daly, is going like, why did he shoot that? He's like, wishing they had a timeout. And then Byron Scott gets fouled and they're up by five. The Pistons are able to rally, however, in the last 39 seconds, and Laimbeer hits that three-pointer, kind of off a broken play, if I recall, pushing the score to 106-105 with 6 seconds left. However, Magic hits a cross-court pass to AC Green for the layout, making it 108-105. And then the controversial finish. Do you want to take it from there, Rich?
Yeah, so for people that haven't seen the clip, you know, the crowd is on the – I mean, they are – There's fans basically everywhere. I mean, they're not on the court. I mean, they're on the court, but they're not in the playing court just yet.
Right,
I mean, they're
right on the edge. Yeah, it's
right.
Funny
they're hanging off. Like,
yeah, and the players actually the Lakers players. Like some of them are actually on the court as Isaiah is getting the inbound pass from I believe it's from Laimbeer.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's chaos. I mean, there's I don't know if people didn't know how much time there was on the clock or everybody was so excited, but I mean, it's like there's still possession in this game or whatever. So,
right.
Isaiah receives a full court pass, and you know, it's not a bad look. Like he gets it. He starts to shoot. The fans are now they start to the second Isaiah catches it, fans start rushing on the court. Players start rushing on the court. Johnson just body checks like Isaiah, just like tackles him, knocks him down. And then the fans are just taking over, and they're just like, that game's over, and the buzzer rings, and everybody starts celebrating, and it's like, well, I mean, that was definitely a foul, but okay. Like, it's pretty telling. Like, I know I had heard of it, and I've seen it before, but watching it and focusing on it for the purposes of this podcast, it was like, dude, Isaiah probably should get a shooting foul here. Like just, and it wasn't even thought. It was just like, and then fans are everywhere, and there's so much chaos that it would have been so hard to bring it all back. But, I mean, Isaiah was well in his rights to do it. I mean, he got just absolutely pummeled by Magic Johnson. Just destroyed, and like not a flop or anything either. Like he gets tackled and gets knocked down, and the fans just, I mean, there was whole chaos before that even. I mean, the whole last possession was just a mess. I mean, that's one where they needed to kind of probably chill everybody out and say, okay, get off the court, let us get this last possession. And they do that from time to time still, but yeah, there wasn't enough time here, and it ended up being kind of a mess. And yeah, Isaiah never got his foul, but that's all right. Go ahead.
I will say, I think, Magic, he's just kind of standing there and Isaiah, hits him. I mean, Isaiah does get knocked down, and I would say in most situations they would have called a foul on it, but it wasn't like Magic, actively tackled him. I mean, it was a little bit, I do feel
they were both trying to get to the same ball. Is the way I sort of looked at it watching is that they were both kind of jumping towards the ball, and it wasn't like Isaiah had caught it, turned around, and Magic, you know, tackled him or whatever like that. Right. It was like, you know, we're both jumping for this ball that's in the middle of the court, and you know, they kind of bumped into each other that way. But I mean, Isaiah does get knocked down, but I do want to. Yeah, it's not Isaiah grabs the ball, turns around, and then Magic, you know, tackles him and then runs away the ball. But that's not what happened.
So I can sort of see the no call, but yeah, I mean, it obviously, like, you know, the league, you know, the Pistons were well within their rights to feel like they kind of got screwed here. I mean, we're awfully close to the Pistons, you know, winning three championships in a row. And obviously that would sort of change the kind of how they're thought of. You know, I kind of think they're thought of now as like an obstacle for Jordan to overcome. And they're not really necessarily given their due as much, you know, and that's partly because, you know, they were the bad boys and they behaved badly and everyone, you know, kind of despised them for the most part. So, I kind of get they're sort of like they fit in between these two dynasties, you know, between the Lakers and the Celtics that dominate each decade. They don't quite fit in with that. But I mean, they were, you know, prior to
I don't know if you mentioned, but they lost in to the Celtics to get into the finals. So, you can see after this year, it's like, all right, get there. And then this is how we lose. It's like, all right.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, that Bad Boys documentary is, which we talked about before, is a great look at the Pistons during that time. So I noticed during the celebration that there's a guy in the crowd near where Magic is
the greatest
walking,
note you've ever written. Yes.
Who looks a little bit like Mark Cuban with an afro. I did do some intense video study. I rewound it and, you know, tried to pause to the point which he comes by, and, you know, upon further review, it almost certainly is not. But like, I mean, there's like an 11% chance that's Mark Cuban right there.
Well, let's do a screenshot and let's tweet at him and say, hey, Mark, are you here at this
time?
I mean,
that's fair.
Why not? I mean, hey, if we get a reply, then we got a reply from Mark Cuban, and that's pretty cool.
There you
go. Then maybe he'll invest in this podcast, which he almost certainly will. So
it's a good investment, Mark. It's a good opportunity.
Right. I mean, this thing's on the rise. I mean, have you listened to the last, you know, 7 episodes? It's great stuff. So
we're tooting our own horn again. This is a theme for the show.
Well, and everything else I do, I just put it down, you know, incessantly, including my own work and life. So this is the one thing that I actually like have some pride in. So as long as it lasts, I'll let it go. So,
all right. Fair enough.
Because everything else I hate, and you know, I hate this. Now that you mentioned it, I hate this podcast. And this might have been our worst one ever. So
it was a good run.
That's a lie. It was pretty good.
It was a good run. So speaking of humility, James Worthy says that he would have voted for Magic for Finals MVP. I forgot to check the stats between the two players during the series to see if that kind of bears out. But I have them up now.
What do we got?
Yeah, Worthy had 22-7-4. Magic had 21-6-13. Magic did it on 55% shooting. Worthy was 49%. You know, I would probably
look at the analytical James Worthy there talking. You know,
there you go.
talking about the efficiency.
Game score wise, Magic, you know, 24.4 versus Worthy 16.6.
There we go. He was poring over the basketball reference pages and said, no.
There you go.
That's your guy. That's your guy right there.
Yeah. So, good for Worthy to get that and to, you know, get something that stood out in the finals. But yeah, I probably would have given it to Magic had.
And a lot of that happens with the final game as well. I mean, just having that as we said, big game James in that final game.
Yeah,
I'm sure that
it's obviously not all about stats. I mean, you know, that's just a baseline comparison. But Worthy's fine. Obviously, Worthy was Worthy.
Yes, he was an okay choice. Kareem, that might not have been a great choice.
Yeah, Kareem, he got an 85. He was 38 then, so, you know, we'll give him that. Actually, you know what? Now to think about it, I think Kareem was actually 41 at this point. He had just turned 41, so.
Jeez, okay. Well, yeah, the fact that he was still, like, able to walk and play and, like, that's just that guy.
and we
talked about him. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, especially look at a 41-year-old who had played in the league. You know, how many years at this point? What are we at now?
This is 19.
In 88. 19. I mean, like just to play that minute load and to play. I mean, even if you only score 4, I mean, that's still a remarkable achievement for that guy. It's just unbelievable what he could do.
Yeah, you know,
breaking news. Bill Russell, good. Will Chamberlain, good. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, also very good. So it's
also
new ground. Great. New ground we've broken on this podcast. I have a list of things that we've revealed and breaking news and that sort of stuff. So
yeah, so we're
I'll add that now. So Kareem played a while and was good. So
played a while and was good. That's we're definitely illuminating a lot of things with people here. So
eat your heart out, Kareem Harris.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's about it.
Yeah, a worthy choice. Yeah, I'll be interested to see what people feel free to argue with us. Tell us we're dumb for picking this one number one, or which one you would pick number one. But yeah. I think very worthy. And yeah, we did it all. I mean, there's you can't argue that we missed an NBA Finals Game 7 because we covered them all. So
and not only did we do it all, but to take a song from the time, we did it all for love.
I did it for Mark Cuban to invest. So
okay,
I don't know about you. Yeah,
yeah.
No, no, not love for me. No, I want to make some money. But
I mean, maybe Mark Cuban is a man who would die for your honor or invest in our podcast for our honor.
Right. Exactly. Now that we've revealed his horrible secret that he had a horrible afro and was sitting courtside at the prior to being rich. And was sitting courtside in LA. But
well, he may have been rich at the time. But I'm going to go ahead and guess that Mark Cuban probably is. More embarrassing things in his, in his closet.
Yeah, perhaps.
Perhaps.
We'll see. So, but anyway, yes, I'm very proud of us. We got it done. We're done. And
all right.
It's over. And I don't want to talk about the NBA Finals again for a while.
No, so no. Funny. Yeah, and now we're off to go and watch an NBA Finals game in just a little while.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, so we've got exciting things coming up. Next we will be doing our summer series on the top 50 players of all time, the original list that was made in 1997. We're going to kind of go through it and talk
about... That one's no good. We're kicking all those guys out.
Yeah, we're talking about the guys, you know, how we kind of view them now, who definitely would be on it, you know, talking about, you know, players who have played since then and who might be on it. And by... we'll go through the whole thing, and by the end, we're going to pick our own choices for who would be the top five players in NBA history. So we got a lot of angles to cover for. We're still, you know, in the works on planning aspects of it, but it should be what basically takes up our summer, you know, unless there's a, you know, major retirement or, you know, other breaking news going on. But for the most part, that'll be what we do for the summer. So hopefully people are into that. Check us out at hardwoodparoxysm.com. We're part of the Podium Game network of podcasts, which you can find on iTunes. If you search for Hardwood Paroxysm, would be great if you gave us a rating and review, not just for us, but for all the other great podcasts that are part of the Podium Game network, including the Podium Game podcast itself, the Amateur Hour that's been doing.
Amateur Hour has been doing some great stuff.
Yeah.
If you're an NBA draft guy, go back and you have about 27 or so podcasts to catch up on, because they're breaking down every team and doing mock drafts for everyone. It's been really great stuff. I feel bad I haven't been able to give it enough time to really listen to, because we've been doing some other stuff, but I'm definitely going to go once I'm in NBA draft mode, which I'm not yet. I'm going to go back and listen to all those.
We only have a week.
Not quite there yet.
We only have a week to go, but
no, I know. I'm going to catch up. It's always that last week that I really kind of get into it. I mean, because I'm worried about the finals. You know, I can't really think of like random dudes, and you know, I'm all bored.
I've listened to most of them. I'm not real good at like understanding who is going to be good and who is not going to be good in the NBA. So, I'm interested in hearing other people talk about it, but I have no opinions of my own because it's just not something I'm good at. So, check that out. Biscastball, some other great shows as well. Belong to the newest show on the podcast. So check them out. And we're on Twitter at Over and Back NBA. We're also on Facebook at Over and Back NBA. Rich, did I forget anything?
I think that's it. You nailed it. And I'm really looking forward to that summer project. And again, we'd always love some feedback as well, even prior to that. We haven't started digging in too much, and we have some preliminary stuff. But if you have some guys, and if you think right now, okay, hey, this guy's got to be on your list. You know, he wasn't on the original list. This guy has to be on. Let us know. You know, let's have some feedback and let's talk. And we're trying to make it also a very group and you know, other people oriented. I mean, we're going to have our ideas and our, you know, opinions or whatever, but we'd love to hear what you guys think and what you say and who you think's on and who you think's off. And you know, just look at that list and you'll get everything from there and say, hey, this guy sucks. What the hell's he doing here? Or say, you know, hey, you got to add, you know, Kevin Garnett. And there's guys that we know, but there might be guys that we don't, that we might have completely forgotten about that we, you know, haven't given enough time to. So please.
Yeah,
feel free that expect that we've done nothing and come at us with names and opinions and figures and everything you can, because it's gonna be a big project and we need your help as well. So
yeah, and whether it's a past player or, you know, a player, you know, post 1997 player who, you know, you think is worth considering that may not be like immediately obvious, you know, we definitely be willing to, you know, talk about him at least a little bit and, you know, kind of consider.
All right, we're gonna add LeBron, so you don't have to add him.
Yeah,
Kobe Bryant will probably be added as well, so we're okay. Thank you for letting us know about those two. We Kevin Garnett, we will probably add as well. And then, yeah, possibly Tim Duncan. I'm going to consider it, but I'm shook.
Well, don't give up.
Maybe Tim Duncan.
Don't give too much away, Russ. Or Rich.
No,
Rich. Yeah, so, all right, everyone. Well, thanks for checking us out, and we'll be back again soon.